Acts chapter 1. The Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 9. And when he, the Lord Jesus, these really represent his final words to his own while he was here on earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men, I would assume angels, stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. It was about 4 or 5 kilometers distant. And that is all we will read, and the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. First of all, on behalf of David and Dan, the three of us would like to thank the assembly here for your incredible warmth and hospitality to us this weekend. We consider it an honor to have been here. It was a thrill to us. So we would say thanks for the hospitality of the homes, for the warmth of the Christians, for the excellence of the food, tremendous food here, and just for how hard this assembly works. I think of somebody like dear Dorothy and her crew that they never get out of the kitchen, and it's their conference, but they work hard, and we're so grateful. The second thing that I would like to say was that when dear brother Tony, and I call him dear brother Tony because he is a dear brother and Tony is his name, when he asked me to do this, my heart sank. And I immediately wrote him and I said, "Tony, either Dan or David, these are men of great learning. I would rather not do that." He says, "Lindsay, thank you, but you're going to do it." I have to be honest, up until that point, I was really looking forward to the conference. And I remember sitting at my desk, and I had my face in my hands just wondering, how in the world could you possibly in a half an hour summarize the time until the Lord returns, then at least 7, maybe more years, then 1,000 years, then eternity in a half an hour? I just was sitting there with my face in my hands. But thankfully, the last scripture that I had before me with the Bible open was Acts 1. Now, if you have learned this weekend, you will understand that this exact reference that we have read is not for the rapture. These were men of Galilee who lived in Jerusalem. The angels were addressing Jewish men from the Mount of Olives. And they said, "Ye men of Galilee, this same Jesus that you have just seen lift off, he will come back to this spot." So that was a message to Israel. So we're not necessarily here talking about the rapture. But as I sat there with my face in my hands, thinking, what in the world am I going to do? It was as if with my eyes closed and my hands in front of my face, the Lord just turned on a little switch. And I saw three words: "This same Jesus." Because Dan has said, in these days, God's great pivot is the Lord Jesus. Everything revolves around him. We could say that's true for every aspect of our lives. Dan, even yesterday, I couldn't believe it. He said, "Let's look at the tribulation from the point of view of the Lord Jesus Christ." So, after a weekend like this, we still have perhaps more questions than answers. And as human beings, we don't like the unknown. We really don't. It makes us uncomfortable. we're fearful of what we don't know. So even at the end of this weekend, we have a lot of what, where, when, how, why, who. And whenever we are in any kind of an unknown as human beings, we desperately search for an absolute. So the absolute to all of these things is this same Jesus. So for a few minutes, I would like you to just worship with me as we think of this same Jesus. This same Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the very one who eternally knew that he was going to be the very centerpiece of God's plan of salvation. This same Jesus who always was and forever will be the promise of God. And every promise that God has ever given to us is totally wrapped up in this same Jesus. This same Jesus is the one who fulfilled the first prophecy from the Garden of Eden, when God stepped between a snake and his fallen creatures. And he said, listen, one day the offspring of this woman is going to crush your head. This same Jesus who amazingly became Bethlehem's babe after for 9 months he had been, of all things, an embryo in a virgin's womb. And the poet said, his shoulders held up heaven and earth while Mary held up him. This same Jesus who is Nazareth's boy, the boy from Nazareth, who lived in subjection to imperfect earthly parents, who lived in a home where four brothers did not believe in him. And we don't read much about Joseph. We don't know when he passed away. But the Lord Jesus may have been the man of the house at a very early age. This same Jesus who became the stranger of Galilee, the one who traveled around that body of water and those environs, healing all who were brought to him. This same Jesus who never left anybody go away. And it's sad to think that the young man that David spoke about in the gospel last night, I believe, is the only one who came to the Lord Jesus in the Gospels and went away sad. Everyone else was blessed. Every sick person was healed. Nobody died in his presence. And every dead person into whose presence he came, they came back to life. This same Jesus who was Israel's rejected Messiah, who wept over Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, if only." This same Jesus who was a lonely man one night in a garden with his disciples sleeping a stone's throw away. And if the anticipation of Calvary was so terrible that dark night, what was it really like when he went to the cross? This same Jesus who rose and fell on his face, who rose and fell on his face on the floor of that garden, with not a chance that he would walk away from the cross, not a chance. But he was showing us that he was willing to bow his will to his Father. This same Jesus, who was the Lamb of the cross, the man of Calvary, who suffered there in darkness, untold agonies, when he was made sin for me. This same Jesus, who when I found myself to be at my darkest, lowest, most helpless, most hopeless, most impossible place, with the flames of hell opening up beneath my feet, this same Jesus revealed himself to me one night as my Savior. This same Jesus who revealed himself to you the moment you got saved. This same Jesus who thankfully received the first glorified body, setting the stage for what we will inherit. This same Jesus who met Mary Magdalene and called her by name and said, "Go, tell my disciples, and don't forget Peter, I've risen from the dead." This same Jesus who met with two downhearted Christians, followers on the road to Emmaus. That would have been one Bible reading I would love to have been at. Moses and the prophets, he explained to them everything that had been written concerning himself. This same Jesus who was the first man in heaven. And had he not, and I say this reverently, been our trailblazer there to drop anchor for my soul in the presence of God, had there not been him as the first fruits, the first man in heaven, we would have had no chance to be there. This same Jesus who is right now our great high priest, making intercession for us in the presence of God. Thank God for his finished work, but thank God for his unfinished work. Brother and sister, have you ever paused to think, what would my Christian life be like if I did not have a perfect, spotless high priest who understands me completely, who knows everything I'm going through because he was here and he was tested like I'm being tested? What would it be like if we did not have him there, pleading, representing as an advocate, as a defense attorney, as a mediator, as Job's day's man, standing between a holy God and me, this same Jesus. This same Jesus who has never left us, he has always been with us. As we have stood at gravesides weeping, this same Jesus has stood beside us. And put an arm around our shoulder and whispered in our ear, "I am the resurrection and the life." Every time we have hit rock bottom, we've landed on him. This same Jesus who is underneath us, the everlasting arms. This same Jesus who has promised, "I will never leave you or forsake you." The writer to the Hebrews says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." This same Jesus who is God's Son, whom we await from heaven, he's coming back for you, and he's coming back for me. This same Jesus that when we see him for the first time, the moment we see him, we will be made like him. And he will give us a glorified body because God gave him the first one. And we have thrilled this weekend at these four words, "forever with the Lord." He is coming for us because he wants us, and he wants us to be with him where he is. This same Jesus who will meet each one of us individually at his place of rewards. And as we stand before him at his judgment seat, we will see the wounds in his hands that our sins have caused. Proof that our sins have already once and forever been judged. This same Jesus who will lovingly take us as his bride. This same Jesus who will graciously spare us from going through the tribulation. We heard that described yesterday as to what will happen here on earth. But I was glad that Dan did not get into the very horrible, terrible things that will be suffered upon this earth. It's beyond belief, beyond the mental comprehension of what will happen here. And this same Jesus will lift us away and keep us from that. When Alan and I were singing when we were teenagers, there was a song we sang, and I thought of it in reference to this, and it goes like this. The headlines will read, millions disappear. This world will be shocked, stunned, trembling with fear. As they search for the missing, they'll be looking for me, absent from this troubled planet, but home eternally. When the stars begin to fall, what a day, what a day. In the time of Jacob's trouble, I'll be far, so far away. I'll be in my brand new home, in the sky, recalling the rapture when I told this world goodbye. This same Jesus will spare us from all of that misery and heartache. This same Jesus will also bring us back with him to see prophecy fulfilled and see him triumphantly step foot on the Mount of Olives. We will see him deliver Israel and destroy all of his enemies. Where we read, they were on the Mount of Olives, which is just a few kilometers from Jerusalem. And to get back to Jerusalem, they climbed down from that little mountain. They crossed the brook Kidron, and they ascended up to the city. And that was the same route in reverse that the Savior took when he went over the brook. And no one wept with him like they wept with David. He went to that garden to weep alone. But someday this same Jesus is going to come back from heaven on that white horse, and we will be with him, and that is where we will land with him, and we will see what he will do to his enemies. This same Jesus will reign in peace, as we have heard, over this earth, and he will accomplish what has never been accomplished by humanity, ever, and that is universal peace. This same Jesus will at the end of the millennium put down all of his enemies and cast Satan and his dominion into 1,000 years of lockup. This same Jesus will also never ask us to stand before a great white throne. There's a verse in Daniel that says it's enough to chill your blood. The judgment was set and the books were opened. And we will never, because of this same Jesus, have to stand there at the end of Revelation 20 at the great white throne. This same Jesus, we will finally see every knee bow. Bow to him and every tongue confess. And we will be given front row seats at the coronation of the King of Kings. This same Jesus who has graven my name in his hands will allow me to wear his name in my forehead. This same Jesus will reveal to us and create for us what we've just been hearing about, new heavens, a new earth, and this incredibly gorgeous and brilliant heavenly Jerusalem, the holy city. This same Jesus will be our Savior, Redeemer, Reconciler, Bridegroom, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and friend forever and ever. And every one of these events that have been referred to or discussed or read about or alluded to this weekend, every one of them at their very center has this same Jesus. So, brother and sister, all that we have experienced in our lives with this same Jesus should give us great hope and peace and encouragement and joy and expectation, not fear, that in all of these things that are coming, that have been discussed, this same Jesus, who has been with us every step of the way, even before we were saved, sending ministering spirits to protect us until God could save us, this same Jesus is the one common denominator, the one center, the one pivot, the one absolute to not only everything we have faced, but to everything we will face. So don't fear the events. Trust your friend, because he's the centerpiece of them all. God's design would be that there would come a day where in him, everything would be all in all. Those of you who have met dear little Jim McMaster from Scotland, a sincere Christian who's been commended by an assembly to work with street people. And he sits and he goes to jail with them. He'll buy them a coffee. He sits in the gutters with them and witnesses the Savior to them. He has been posting on Facebook excerpts of his devotional that he reads every day from a book called The Valley of Vision. I'd never heard of it before, so I bought one. It is the prayers of the Puritans from the 17 to 1800s. And some of them are men that you and I have heard about. Isaac Watts and John Bunyan and C.H. Spurgeon. So I'm going to close my remarks with just one of these prayers from the Puritans. As we consider everything we've talked about, as we consider this one who is the central person, focus, bedrock, foundation, peace for everything that lies ahead. One of these dear men wrote this: "May I view all things in the mirror of eternity, waiting for the coming of the Lord, listening for the last trumpet call, hastening unto the new heaven and the new earth." You know, we sing together. We'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come. Now, I have gotten permission to do this, but in a moment we're going to stand and we're going to sing a hymn together, and none of us are going to have hymn books because you all know it. You'll know all three verses. I'm going to read them just to make sure. But this actually is a hymn that was written from a millennial chapter, Malachi 3. And interestingly, it was written in 1856 by a Baptist preacher named William O. Cushing from Hingham, Massachusetts, which is 34 miles from where we are today. We've sung this since childhood, but it touched my heart when I thought of these words in light of what we have learned this weekend. When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. He will gather the gems for his kingdom, all the saved ones, all the bright ones, his loved and his own. Little children, we've always thought of this as a Sunday school song. John calls us little children. Little children who love their Redeemer are the jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. So we'll sing it a little slower perhaps than we usually sing it, with reverence. And yet I trust that as we sing this, you'll gain maybe some new meaning as a result of what we've talked about this weekend. That we have a wonderful, glorious, bright future ahead of us that none of us deserve. But it's all because of this same Jesus. So let's stand and we'll sing this hymn together.
When he cometh to